Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about securing remote access for patients and employees. And it's an important topic because the industry is seeing the convergence of a couple trends: increased remote access and remote connectivity with patients, along with increased needs for data security and post-acute health as a whole. And that includes, of course, home medical equipment. So what's that going to mean for HME providers? Here to answer that is Jerry Denneny, the Chief Technology Officer for industry software company Brightree. Jerry, thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on board. You guys always have good, interesting answers to pertinent topics. And bearing that in mind, let's dive in. What are the factors that are driving remote access for HME employees? I imagine, you know, COVID's got to be one of them, but maybe you can kind of, explain that a bit.
Yes. Well, there had been a number of factors prior to COVID. So one of the big shifts and changes was network access down to the home. So if we rewind 20 years ago, it wasn't possible to have almost guaranteed access across the United States for almost every home to have some sort of broadband allowing us to drive either work from home or point of care right into the home. And then COVID came along and it was almost a sentinel event that forced the issue, right? So that goes for everything from back office employees all the way through knowledge workers to work from a home environment. So I think, again, the technology was ready and then COVID was that sentinel event.
Got it. And I imagine that this will have some lasting impact, you know, while some employees might transition back to working in the office or working at provider store locations, others are going to be staying at home.
Yes. And we're seeing a lot of companies tackle this across all industries from a hybrid point of view. And certainly HMEs are doing so as well. Companies are seeing efficiency and morale gains in this shift, but burnout is also a large risk. So workers have more difficult segregating the different parts of their lives, the work life, the personal life. And the bottom line for companies is that the operating models around remote working teams has been proven out as possible and sometimes optimal. And now we need to move into optimization of that. So we've seen changes in more electronic collaboration and workflows. Slack and Microsoft Teams usage has skyrocketed, for example.
Let's transition over to the patients. What are the trends that are driving remote connectivity for patients?
Well, again, COVID, a sentinel event.
Yep.
But for patients, it's really driving patient engagement in a way where patients can choose the modality in which they want to communicate. So previously, particularly in HME, you would go into the HME, for example, for sleep and CPAP, you would bring your little chip in and, you know, download the data right there in the office. With shifts towards remote technology capabilities, the machine can do that remotely automatically. But also as we look towards resupply, for example, we see the ability for us to understand as an HME and as a market, how does that patient want to interact? Do they want a phone call? Do they want a text message? Do they like an app-like experience? We're really putting more options in the hands of patients, and changes in technology have made that possible. And then again, COVID has really forced the issue as many people no longer want to necessarily go direct face-to-face.
Got it. And I would imagine that remote patient monitoring for certain types of patient groups like sleep patients or diabetes patients, and now even some respiratory patients is helping kind of push things in that direction too.
It is, and it's also creating a deluge of data for providers to better understand how these devices are being used, what better point of care can be provided. So in addition to a lower touch, it's also an opportunity to provide better outcomes. So really, really great time to be in healthcare, really great time to be in HME.
Definitely fascinating. What are, we've got workers and, employees that are remote accessing. We've got patients that are remote accessing. We've got a lot of data that's going across a lot of lines. What are the underlying security concerns here?
Oh, there's plenty. And if we look towards some of the industry data on this, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in 2020 reported well over 600 significant breaches, and that's up from 500 or so in the previous year. So incidents are climbing, the severity of incidents are climbing. And while two-thirds of those breaches last year were reported as, quote unquote, hacking incidents where a system was broken into, there's also a significant number of unauthorized disclosures in there, lost and stolen unencrypted computing devices. So there's a systems factor and a human factor. And really, I think where HMEs can concentrate on is that human factor.
Well, let's get into that in a second. But I'm curious if you can kind of quantify this. Do you have any statistics that show, the depth of the problem when it comes to healthcare data security?
So we would talk about it in terms of volume. So within Brightree's own systems, we've seen a more than 70% climb just in 2021 over this time last year from a number of attacks through or attempted attacks through various vectors. That can include everything from, phishing, malware and ransomware attempts all the way to direct attempted attacks on the Brightree system itself. And of course, we have security in depth to protect from those, but we see a significant lift in the number of knocks on the door we get, so to speak.
It sounds to me like anybody who's thinking that, ransomware attacks and things like that are a problem that only hospitals and large facility-based care environments have to deal with needs to think again.
Yes, and I actually have a personal story on this that affects me and Brightree. As we just mentioned, phishing attacks and email are a primary source of attack, and they can be used to distribute malware or ransomware, but sometimes it's just information that's being sought. And, recently we experienced a cybersecurity attacker who emailed our payroll team and said, "Hey, I'm Jerry Denany, and I want to change my direct deposit information for my paycheck."
No way.
This happened. And because we focus on training all of our employees, regardless of role, on HIPAA, on cybersecurity, the finance team knew to use a secondary method of confirming the message. And so they picked up the phone, and we have a phone, a phone tree, and they called my cell phone, and they said, "Hey, Jerry, did you do this?" And of course I didn't. And so we prevented an incident. But a lot of times when we're talking about cybersecurity, people think of systems at threat. And it's really about systems and the human interaction piece. And so ensuring that we're doing the training, that we're creating a culture of appropriately questioning things, and even the finance team member feels comfortable picking up the phone and calling the CTO and asking that question is really important.
That's really interesting. Here we've got, right in your lap is somebody trying to, stage one of these attacks. And you're saying that you saw, what was it? A 70% increase in attempts over the same period, 2020. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So knowing that a whole lot of providers use Brightree, I think I might have the answer for this already, but are there specific types of providers where ensuring remote access security, whether for patients or providers, is more of an issue than others, perhaps in size or product category or types of referrals, or is this a pretty general threat?
Well, I think there's different aspects to what is a general threat. So,
okay.
Yeah, larger providers tend to be larger targets as they have more patients, making that data set more valuable on the black market. But they also tend to have more electronic and people defenses. And this makes smaller providers a bit vulnerable as they have somewhat less defense in depth. And there's ways of protecting either profile. But yes, it's not really related to type of business, but more related to size.
Got it. Now, you had mentioned that a lot of these attacks have more to do, or at least as much to do with people as they do technology. I think that's referred to as social engineering. And I'm curious, how do providers approach this problem then, both from a technological perspective and from a, you know, a workflow or sort of procedural perspective?
Yes, I think, you know, like we were just talking about, HMEs have the most control over the human side, but you have to protect both aspects of this. From the human perspective, training is really key. And, you know, a lot of this training, information security training and healthcare information security training can be purchased relatively cheaply from several vendors on the market today. And then from the system side, be very careful in your vendor selection. Select vendors with strong security programs. If you're a small provider, you're probably relying on outsourced IT or virtual CIO services, and that's great. That's a good option for smaller HMEs, but ensure that your virtual CIO team has that strength in cybersecurity as you're dependent on them.
And then organizationally, are there things that providers need to do with their staff?
Yeah, I'm going to hit that same drum again, but training employees regularly.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but create a culture where questions are allowed and encouraged if they see something unusual. And then remember, caring for patient data is another aspect of patient care. And your reputation as a provider can really depend on how well you provide this critical task.
And I would imagine that a lot that today's accreditation standards for, you know, people who are, you know, Medicare suppliers factors in a lot of, you know, not only HIPAA compliance, but sort of good data handling procedures as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that people miss sometimes is, you know, from an audit perspective, it's not just having a process or a documented process, but make sure you do what you're saying, what you're going to do. You know, the number one audit failure that we see is failure to follow your own policy.
Oh, that's pretty eye-opening right there. Are there other kind of key pitfalls that providers often fall into?
You know, completion of documentation is always, you know, something that I think gets a lot of focus, but it doesn't get as much focus as following your own policy.
What about e-prescription? Is this helping, you know, is the trend towards e-prescription helping to affirm data security, you know, reinforce it? Or are there other procedures that providers need to integrate on top of that to ensure secure e-prescription?
I think anywhere you can automate the workflow is going to have a security benefit to it. And e-prescription is a great example of that. It reduces the human touch on data and reduces the likelihood of data leak due to human error. So I think it's a really positive area to uplift, both from a you know, better referral source, but also from a security profile perspective.
And I would imagine any sort of push towards interoperability and standardized data sharing is probably has a lot of security kind of baked into it. Is that fair to say?
It does. So these systems are designed upfront with security in mind. And so it takes it out of the human error aspect of what we've been talking about and into system security, which has a lot of concentration in that space.
Well, if you had to kind of give any bottom line advice to HME providers out there who might not have emphasized data security as much as maybe they should, what would you tell them?
absolutely find the right partner in this, right? You can't hit this journey by yourself. Even Brightree at our scale, we pay a lot of attention to who we're picking to go help us protect PHI in this data. And so that's really a key aspect of any information security strategy.
Got it. All right. Well, Jerry, thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
And if people want to find out more about data security and Brightree, where should they go?
www.brightree.com.
Okay, well, thanks very much to Jerry again for sharing his information. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter there. If you haven't done so, also make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. And you can also get that as a digital edition, which is a PDF flipbook that'll get emailed to you. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter. And we're also on LinkedIn, I should add. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me. Again, I'm Post Acute News on Twitter, and you can hit me up on email at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105 Media. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling HME business topics like HME data security, but for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.